searching for weakness. Now I'm 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. I do believe this is episode 93. I am 94. Yeah, that's what I said. I am one of your co-hosts, Miss Smart, and with me I have Lady Buddha and Sojourner Verdad. Ladies, say hello to the people.
Hello, hello.
Hello, people. What's up?
How are you guys doing this evening? Lady Buddha, how are you?
I'm good. I'm tired right at this second, but I have been great the past few weeks. Especially the past 1 week where spring is springing in the Metro Atlanta area. So that's been joyful. And I'm out of town right now, but it's like 84 degrees and the sun has been out all day. So that's also been joyful. So mostly I'm great, but just right this moment, I'm kind of exhausted.
Okay. What about y'all?
Sojo, how are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the weather, too. This was my first jog of the springtime. So, like, I went jogging right before I logged in. So I think physically I'm sore, but emotionally I'm happy that it's warm and bright and sunny outside again.
Mm-hmm. Well, me, I'm absolutely exhausted. I didn't sleep last night and didn't get a chance to really take a nap during the day. And on top of that, I think that the universe has conspired against most of the people who know me so that they can do things that annoy the crap out of me. So here I am, good and sober. And yeah, that's, oh, and it was warm here too, but I, seeing as it is St. Patrick's Day, I went out earlier in the day because I didn't want to be on the roads with the drunky McDrunkies tonight, so I went and ran my errands, which, yeah, I did that. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Are you guys drinking anything tonight?
You go.
No, go ahead, Buddha.
Well, I'm in that hotel that has the pour your own, and actually, I wasn't going to drink anything, and I haven't. I'm just kind of looking at it, so it's I have a cab in a plastic cup off to the side, but I did just finish eating some ice cream, which really brought a big smile to my face. So, so I don't know. Yeah.
I have brewed some decaf coffee because I was going to put that with some Bailey's, but I was too hot. So I have water, but what I've been doing, and this might help you too, Smart, what I've been doing the last couple of days is taking lavender leaves and infusing that in my water, and it's been helping me sleep pretty well. Yeah, and it tastes good too, actually. So that's what I have right now, and I might do that coffee later.
What I did, what I'm hoping will work is when I get off of here, I'm going to take ZQL, but last night I noticed that I have a lot of electronics in my room with like green lights and red lights on them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and so I took black vinyl. Yes, I do have stickable vinyl in my house. Don't judge. I have projects. And I covered up all of the stuff because, like, my files box is in my bedroom closet, so that green light is on. There's a power strip under one of my bedside tables. Behind my makeup cabinet, there's another thing. It's just a whole bunch of lights in here. So I'm going to – hopefully that'll help with the sleeping. And plus I have a curio cabinet that lights at night, so I've made it so the light comes on at, like, you know, 7:45, but then goes off at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So hopefully now, last night, ladies, what I did, because somewhere I read, because you guys know I struggle, you know, with insomnia, and I had read that you're not supposed to lay in bed. You're supposed to get up if you can't sleep. So yeah. I had this brilliant idea, and that's when really, you know, 4 or 4:30 in the morning, that's when your best ideas pop up, right? So I decided that I had a question about my own life, and it could only be answered by finding journals from undergrad. That happened, I thought they were like in the very top of my crafting closet, so I pull out the ladder. Makes perfectly sense. By this time it's 4:15. Hey, whatever. And I fell up a ladder.
Oh no.
Yes. only to eventually climb up that ladder, find that they're not there, but they're under my guest bed. So all of that was for naught. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
So
do y'all still do melatonin?
Yeah, I did that last night. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On occasion.
And it didn't do anything, but I am gonna try these lavender leaves.
Yeah, lavender, don't put it directly, like, get, like, the little steeper thing. I think I got you one. Remember when I brought that long-awaited care package to D.C. for you?
Yeah.
But, yeah, put those in there and just let it sit for maybe 10, 15 minutes and just start drinking. It's super relaxing.
Are you like, the tea, the little balls?
No.
Like, silver?
No, like, at the farmer's market, you can buy the herbs. Like, it's just, like, in a little container.
I mean the actual what are you talking about to infuse it actually? What is the container that you're talking about?
Oh, the one I got smart is the one I have. It's just like a little like steel, I don't know, like contraption. Kind of looks like a backwards speculum or something, but I didn't want to say that. but that's what it looks like. And they had something that came out today. I think it was in the Huffington Post. They have sprayable melatonin. It's called sprayable sleep.
Yes. I don't know that my skin will adjust well to that.
You're supposed to spray it on your body?
Yeah.
Or I thought it was in the air. Oh.
Spray it on your neck.
Ew.
Oh, okay. Stop.
Or at least that's what I heard on the Black Guy Who Tips. I believe it was that show where they were talking about it. And I just don't think, I think my skin is too sensitive to just be spraying just random stuff.
Yeah. I be having eczema outbreaks. So I can't be spraying melatonin. But yeah, I saw that today. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, try that lavender. I was looking for like I went to the grocery store today to see if they just had like the lavender sticks,
mm-hmm.
you know, herb sticks, but they didn't have any at Publix because I was going to try that tonight. But yeah, it's been working. I like it. And like I said, I wasn't expecting for it to taste good,
mm-hmm.
but it does. Well, you can also make lavender lemonade.
Oh, now that is kind of up my alley, except, of course, I would need to put sugar in it, which probably I feel like that would make me pay up.
Yeah,
you know, I do have that Negro palate that loves the sweets. So.
You need sweet stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I guess that is our opener of the show. If you've made it this far, you're probably listening to us. So you found us on Podomatic, Stitcher, iTunes, you know, just generally on YouTube, in these streets. You know how we do. Feel free to share with your friends, family, coworkers. If you talk to your coworkers, I know a lot of you guys don't talk to your coworkers, which is fine. But, you know, spread the word about our awesomeness. Speaking of awesomeness, here we have some reviews to read.
Yes, we do. Let me pull them up real quick. This one is from, wait, there's more. Okay, this one is from KWoods89. It says, feeling all this podcast. All I can do is applaud this podcast. And they use, like, the clap clap emojis.
Mm-hmm.
I will some weekends getting caught up, but it's quickly becoming my fave. Love the topics and opinions from women's perspectives. Much love and continued success. By the way, my opinion only, those not feeling empire need to get a grip. It's not that serious. It's great entertainment. Don't take it personal. Lastly, men that date underage girls to me have mental issues and it's downright nasty. No shade. So I guess Kay Woods was talking about our last episode with Kimba Fuzz, where we got into the Empire discussion and also a follow-up to Tyga.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. And then
That's
we got,
awesome.
Yeah. And then we got one, it says, let's say smart with 5 stars. Fizzle 7584, brilliant, beautiful, black, and black is in all caps. Women with a strong sense of self-pontificate on a myriad of topics. I am here for all of it. Felt 5 from Twitter. I'm Felt 5, and I approve of this podcast. Thank you, Felt 5. I didn't download the sound effects, but I would do an applause if... Oh, wait. Thank y'all for the feedback.
It was nice.
Yeah, I like our 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm. Keep them coming. That is, you know, how, well, obviously if you send them to us, we will read them. Well, no, we won't, not necessarily, but if they are good, pleasant 5-star reviews. We'll read them here on the air. So, ladies, I was thinking of things that we need to discuss that we haven't discussed thus far, and I don't know where to start. Should I start with Starbucks and their race relations outreach thingy that had their CEO like have to remove his Twitter?
Yeah, he had to delete his Twitter.
Wait, whoa. I don't know about this.
So basically, Starbucks had come up with this idea, or I'm sorry, I guess the CEO came up with this idea that they would, you know, he would encourage his baristas to talk race with customers. Now, I Starbucks is a company that has gotten in trouble before about their treatment of women on the low, not anything major in the news. So I don't understand why they would even dip their toe into something like this. Like, it's setting their baristas up to get coffee in their faces.
Yeah, I don't, if I'm actually at Starbucks, that means I'm getting coffee because I'm sleepy.
Yes.
Or I'm tired. And if you start a race conversation with me, it's not going to end well. So I don't think that's the best thing. The hashtag Buddha is race together.
Okay, because I just logged on Twitter and I see somebody retweeting right now in the middle of my timeline talking about Starbucks already.
Mm-hmm.
When did this happen? Because, you know, I've been under, first of all, I'm not going to derail us too much, but I missed y'all.
Aww.
I haven't, like, been around, I haven't talked to y'all, I haven't heard y'all in, like, weeks and weeks. And, you know, everybody has a lot of stuff going on right now at any rate. So, but part of me being away from y'all, I've been also away from the internet. So if anything happened today, all the way back to 2 weeks ago, I really don't know much about it.
Well, his name, the senior VP's name is Corey DeBrower.
Okay.
And he is the senior VP of global communications. And it says here in this article on CNN Money that it says that's the lesson Starbucks learned too. Oh, wait, not everyone wants to discuss race relations while ordering their morning coffee, it seems. That's the lesson Starbucks learned Tuesday after a torrent of internet backlash was aimed at its new campaign, which the coffee chain hoped would initiate a nationwide discussion of the issue. Corey DeBrower deleted his Twitter account Monday night after being personally attacked amid a storm of angry tweets. He says that he'll be back on Twitter soon and that he deleted his account because those attacking him were a distraction from the respectful conversation we are trying to start. So basically, you just run and hide like from that race conversation if it doesn't go the way you want.
Yeah, the article I had actually listed Howard Schultz as spearheading it, but this was before it actually hit, because this one is they're saying, oh, on Monday they're going to start or whatever. So, like, I don't know that I don't understand how anybody thought this was a great idea.
If they can't handle the tweets, imagine a hot coffee.
The hot coffee? I mean, well, they've learned a very valuable lesson about how Twitter works, but it's amazing that they've never seen any of these other scandals where people don't like what's being said and they will clown you mercilessly. Like, they've never heard of Paula Deen, Justin Sacco, you know, Bill Cosby.
Ciao.
Did they have a script for the baristas, or were they just supposed to wing it?
I don't see that there was, let's say it says, in a video addressing Starbucks nearly 200,000 workers, 40% of whom are members of a racial minority, Schultz dismissed the notion that race was too hot a topic business-wise for Starbucks to tackle. I reject that. I reject that completely, he said in the video address. It's an emotional issue, but but it is so vitally important to the country, he continued, pointing out that the United States is so much better than what the current state of race relations portray it to be. Now, I think this is a man who doesn't know what life is. Mm-hmm. He's a man who thinks the SAE, those boys, those two that got expelled, they're an isolated incident. He's the man who thinks that if we have 10 videos of 10 black bodies being shot by police officers, that we're secretly hiding 90 more where nothing bad happens to them. He's that guy.
You know, they're so disconnected that they were showing some pictures of their ad campaign with all these hands holding the cups of Starbucks, and there were no dark colored hands.
Yeah, I mean,
Starbucks, like, it was all like,
this, it says this has been, well, the initiative follows several months of consultations with employees that started in December, in part as a result of the protests that roiled several U.S. cities after grand juries, yada, yada, yada. So they've been talking about this for several months. They've probably had several meetings and memos, and nobody in their marketing department said, hey, listen, I saw you copied me on that Race Together or whatever thing. Let's kind of table that.
Or they just ignored the people who were like, this might not be a good idea.
Well, then
see, this is a, you know, this is what happens when people don't stay in their lane. Like, it's okay to want to contribute to the world or whatever, but just make good coffee. All kinds of people go to Starbucks. All kinds of conversations just naturally happen. You don't have to be the advocate for every single thing. Mm-hmm. You know, just create the space. Make your place be an inviting place where people can want to come and talk about whatever they want to. One of those things will happen to be race, which is just true when people gather and feel comfortable in a place. But trying to force the issue, I'm looking at some of these articles. It's just a strange thing to try to campaign anyway. It's just strange.
And I'm not a Starbucks head like a lot of people. I make my own coffee, but when I've gone into Starbucks, it seems like a pretty comfy place where people bring their computers and, you know, just kind of chill out. So let the conversation be organic. Like, I don't want a barista trying to initiate a conversation about race with me. I really don't want a clerk, like, if I'm going anywhere to purchase something, I don't want them initiating a conversation with race about me. I mean, around me. I just don't.
I don't want them initiating a conversation about anything. I don't, except for, may I take your order, please? And how would you like
to try
that?
This flavor, right?
Right. But when we get into any of those questions, do you want this card? I don't want you asking me that. I just don't want you asking me a whole lot of questions. I came in there for a business transaction, and if I like the place, I'm going to hang out. And if I don't, I'm going to leave. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think they found that was not not their lane. And
I think it's funny that he deleted his account, because that actually shows that you didn't think this through.
You didn't think it through at all.
Because you could have... And nobody in his little marketing team or social media team didn't teach him the skill of tweeting through it. Like, I mean, nothing. He just wasn't ready.
But you know what? If a lot of his top henchmen and women are of his same upbringing and mindset, they don't even consider that what they're doing is wrong. And right. Oftentimes, in those rooms where there may be one black person, that person got to be in that room because they didn't say a lot of stuff. You know, they didn't go against the grain.
Yeah, and so, it's kind of like when men like try to direct women on how to be feminists, or because that happened over the weekend. I saw that happen. and that didn't quite end well. So I mean, it's almost the same thing. So,
So Starbucks, and I have this gift card burning a hole in my wallet. But again, I just don't feel like getting out of my car. And we have free Keurig at the job. I got Keurig at my house. I just don't need to. But if I did stumble up in there, I don't want to hear nothing except my name being pronounced wrong and that my whatever latte is good and ready. Let's see, from there, since we are already on race and racism, did we ever talk about, I know a lot of people have talked about that fraternity, but we didn't talk about it here on this show, did we?
No, because I can't remember when it happened.
I don't think we talked about it. I think we talked about it amongst ourselves. I don't know if we talked about it out loud. Like, I think we typed about it.
Well, a couple of people have brought it up in that they know I am in a sorority, but they don't understand that ours are different from theirs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they brought it up in the, oh, it must, it's an isolated, what's wrong with that chapter? And I mean, you know, because I'm really not an educator. I'm a file comment maker and a walk awayer. The whole thing just annoys me in that only those two boys were expelled, but it was a whole bus full of people.
Wait, what do you mean by they thought it was an isolated chapter?
You know, right. So, oh, all SAEs aren't like that, blah, blah, blah. But then if you go into comments and you hear firsthand accounts or read firsthand accounts of other chapters of this fraternity, they know that song as well.
Exactly.
So just like I'm sure we probably know a lot of the same songs just because, you know, same sorority or whatever. Of course they know those songs. And then for black members to come and say, oh, well, no, they're not all like that. Most of the time, I'd say about 85% of the time, what they say, they're not going to sing that song in front of your ass.
Right.
And unless, go ahead. I was going to say, unless one of them slips up and you don't check them about it, and that gives them the okay to go ahead and say stuff like that. But no, they're not going to say that around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say what I saw was like people as far as Louisiana, I think it was like Louisiana Tech or something like that, they knew the exact same chat that those boys in Oklahoma were singing. So cut the bullshit. Like it wasn't just some, and then it was like that chant was so old, like that was passed down generationally.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell me they didn't travel. You can't tell me that they didn't. So no, not what's wrong with that chapter. Mm-mm.
Well, but it's the same thing that they do with white serial killers. It's the same thing they do with a lot of white people who engage in deviant behavior. They get the benefit of being an individual. They get to the benefit of being the only one and not part of or representative of a group. So this one gets the opportunity to be an individual chapter and not representative of a culture or multiple groups that may have the same approach or a time frame when they came into being. They can be isolated and kind of, you know, viewed atomistically, like it's just this one piece over there and not mm-hmm. a part of this big whole. So, I mean, that's, they always benefit from that. And that's why it's important to push back and be like, no, that's some bullshit. Let me explain it to you this way, and this other way to at least force the issue so people can stop doing that.
Or those poor unfortunate boys were somehow forced into singing this because of rap music, because that's what they said on Morning Joe. Mm-hmm. It's rap music's fault that they made that chant about hanging people from trees.
Blair Kelly was going off on that.
And now they're suing the school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I also, I believe I read somewhere that those boys both had grade point averages below a 2.0, so academically, I believe that they had grounds to dismiss them, and they were creating a hostile environment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, you know, you can't, you know, people like that are not going to accept a penalty. I mean, you saw what their parents did. They're not going to accept a penalty. And that's, I think, going back to the Starbucks, I think that's what is so, that's why he ran off of social media, because he can't accept the penalty.
Right.
Yep.
You know, he can't shoulder that weight. But again, I would be interested to find out who else was on that bus, because it wasn't just those two guys.
Yeah, I'm sure, because I didn't see the whole video. I just saw like the 10-second Vine or whatever. But I mean, you could identify other people, because even if you heard the voices, like that was a group of voices.
Mm-hmm.
And let me also compare this to gang behavior, because I kind of feel like these two took the heat for everybody else. Maybe they didn't snitch, which is what they should have did. Like, you know, everybody tells people in the hood, oh, stop snitching, it's stupid. Why would you take the whole heat? These boys probably should be passing out lists of who else was in on it.
because they knew who was in on
right.
it.
But they're not getting called a gang.
And I'm pretty sure their Paula Deen looking house mother knew exactly who else was probably singing that chant as well.
Well, now, she was adorable. I mean, you know.
She looked like Paula Deen.
Yeah, she was.
If you want to call that adorable.
She was adorbs. I mean, until she opened her mouth, she was adorable.
Until she said, nigga, with her red face.
Yeah, and so here's the thing with that.
Mm.
So, you know, sometimes when people say words, you know it's something that flies out of their mouth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she had it on repetition. She was really good at enunciating it that quickly. So I am going to go ahead and say it's a word. I mean, she probably says nigatos instead of, what, cashews. She probably does. You know?
A nigger rig when she's trying to
yell a trip. So Blair Kelly was talking about that whole situation. She was critiquing, you know, the whole discussion about comparing it to rap and, you know, how ridiculous that was. And she said, you know, well, maybe black rappers flew back in time to lynch in the 1890s as well, you know, just kind of ridiculing the whole thing. But then she goes on to talk about, you know, putting it into historical context. She says, I bet that chant dates back to the 1950s and 60s in that fraternity. At that point, when integration was a real threat to the racial order. And then she said, does anyone remember Ada Sipuel versus the Board of Regents University of Oklahoma, 1948? Let's cite that, and she puts a link. And she says, let's remember that the University of Oklahoma was an all-white institution that denied admission to black candidates simply because of race. So it isn't the history and legacy of white supremacy at this university or in this fraternity, but is Waka Flocka Flame? Help me now.
That's it. Yep.
And then she keeps going and says, back to Ada Sipuel Fisher, she says, is there a building named after her on campus? She says, do they teach on campus how Ada was roped off and forced to sit in a chair marked colored just to attend class? They should. She says that chant is a reflection of a real history, a lived experience that black students had to confront on that campus and many others like it. And then she, you know, gives the link again about Ada. So it's just like, you know, when you start putting context around, you get to remind people that, no, you don't get the benefit of just being, oh, those two silly white boys, but some shit that has gone on for a long time that has a legacy that doesn't need to be dismissed and ignored just for the sake of, oh, frat boys doing silly shit. No.
Well, Common told Jon Stewart, I guess this was yesterday, I don't know, because
yeah,
I saw it. Yeah, that we need to extend a hand of love to white people, and then that will be the remedy to racism.
Well, see, you know what? I guess in the context of the entire show, it didn't even leave me a blip on my radar because it's a comedy show. I mean, you know, like, if you watch the entire show and you know it's Jon Stewart and people go on there and crack jokes, I mean, okay, if you want to take those two lines and roll it into something, fine, but yeah, I watch Jon Stewart all the time, and
He didn't seem like he was joking in that clip, though.
I think he was joking. Like, you know, like a ha-ha, let's just do, what's the easiest thing we can do? Yeah, you know, we just need to, this is sort of like when I will say to somebody, you know what, let's just go ahead and pray on it. Do I really mean that? No.
But now, don't you, good Christian bitch, don't you?
Right.
Anyway, you're out of context. Let's stay in the context here. And the context is that if somebody stumbled upon one of our WhatsApp conversations and I said, you know, again, I'm just going to pray through it. I'm just going to, you know, take to a knee and pray. They probably could come away thinking, wow, she's religious.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes, if they took a 5-minute exchange or a 2-minute exchange, yeah, they could come away with that. It's not true.
Not from you.
You know what? This is not what we're not on.
Well,
not
even if he meant it, you know, I believe in love, And I believe in calling a spade at the same time.
Yeah.
So
I think
you
in
can still
conversation.
point out some shit and say, I love you and you need to do better. And then what you do with your children and with the other people that you love, you don't just let them do whatever the hell they want to. You still correct them.
And I also think in conversations like this, especially stuff that's gonna be mainstream because people will pick and choose sound bites that they want. I think that you have to be careful with your wording because somebody can say, well, see, that black person said all you guys need to do is love. Why are you so angry? You know what I'm saying? So you do have to, when you go on these major talk shows and, all that, or even just, hell, just having conversations and interviews, know that when it comes to this, we shouldn't be explaining ourselves anymore. At this point, it's time for us to stop saying what we need to do to fix this problem and throw back that question, well, what do y'all need to do?
Yeah,
Well, Starbucks
absolutely.
says the answer is right, race together. On the top of your coffee cup.
We need to have a discussion over coffee.
So you know that part where I said that I had listened to the Common and John Stewart interview? When I mentioned the thing about people being outraged, I thought they were outraged about the very end of the interview because that's what I remembered when Common or John said something about lighting some candles and playing some Let's Get It On or something, and that being the way to end racism, and they were laughing. However, I was listening to a podcast today where they actually played the full interview, and oh yeah, Common was serious at that point, and it sounded very much like he was trying to purposely downplay race and look like a quote unquote all American good black guy who's not, a race baiter. So yeah, that's it. Miss Mark making a correction.
The thing is that so what I find interesting is that white people pick and choose what advice they want to accept. Like it's, oh, well, so and so said I could say nigger, and then Common said, let's just love. And but they're not hearing that what you just said, like, oh, this ain't my problem. Y'all, what y'all gonna do about it? 'Cause this is your problem. They pick and choose like a buffet of what is easiest for them to do. If they hear it out of a black mouth, they're going to choose the thing that is most easiest or most in line with what they're already doing, and that is burying their heads in the sand and trying to pretend like everybody's making up this racism and no racists don't exist unless somebody's being hung from a tree. So I'm not here for it. I said a long time ago that, I'm not a bridge builder and an educator in that sense. If somebody is my friend and we're talking about it, that's one thing, but I am not going, I'm just not the person who somebody at my job who I hardly know can ask me or discuss, let's say, Trayvon Martin with me or when they can say nigga, because I know myself well enough and I troll. I can't not. So I, yeah,
And I'm also not going to sit in a therapy session with my abuser and discuss ways that I can make the relationship better. I'm not going
Ooh, preach. That was a
Absolutely.
good one.
I did though. I do remember telling, and I've probably mentioned this guy a few times, nice guy, love him to death, white guy. We were talking about privilege versus not privilege, and he grew up really poor. And I was like, well, hey, here's the thing though. So you grew up poor, and okay, so you're saying you don't have white privilege. Well, you do, because when your son turns 15 and you teach him how to drive, you're not going to have to set aside time to tell him how to not get killed when he gets pulled over. That right there is the privilege. You don't even have to consider that type of stuff. So, and then, he went away and he came back and he got it. Like, oh, I never thought about it. Like, nobody ever said that to me like that before. But I wouldn't say that to someone who I didn't particularly like and wasn't cool with. But I mean, he's also the same guy who told me he had a friend who allowed them to use mulatto and call him a mulatto. And I was just like, well, maybe he's looking for acceptance, but no.
Probably another word maybe we can start using in addition or instead of privilege is blind spot. Because I think that people start having, they bring, their own background to the word privilege. So they think it means, oh, well, they think it means something that it doesn't mean. But when you start talking about it in terms of blind spots and things that they don't realize or things that they aren't aware of, it's because they don't have to be aware of it. And so therein lies the privilege. So, but people, get so twisted and defensive about, well, I have to work hard too. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So all of us experience different types of privilege in different, spaces. So sometimes, there are times when, my female privilege, female being a female comes with privileges. So, like when I needed to put some boxes in my car yesterday with my dress on, I just took my time, and the man who was sitting right across from me was like, "You want me to help you out with those boxes?" Sure do.
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess, and I said before, I don't mind a lot of things if it's to my benefit, but if it's not to my benefit, like if it's equal pay, no, we now we got a problem. So, let's see, what else is going on? Oh, so did you guys, well, I know Lady Booty, you probably haven't seen it. But that fight with those girls where they literally stomped this one girl in the head and then now they're all arrested.
No, I'm glad I
Well,
didn't see that.
there are
That's
a lot
true.
of fights like that. Like, you gotta clarify, because they're all.
This is the one, I think it was in it's in New York, and the one girl that got jumped, she apparently was winning the fight at first. And then these girls just pounded on her. And I tried to avoid seeing the video, but you keep seeing snippets of it on all the news shows. And to your point, Sojo, there are a lot of videos like that. All of the, I can't think of the name of this girl who was on one of the news programs this weekend, but this black girl, I can't think of her name. She was a prosecutor in New York at one point. All these videos and all of these adults, and nobody called 911. The people in the store in the McDonald's called 911, but all of these onlookers, adults, grown asses, I believe they should be prosecuted too.
Yeah, people pull out phones and, videotape now. Like, there's a situation in Atlanta where there's a girl who was stomped and her stuff is all over, social media. She actually posted it so the girls could get arrested. But when you watch that video, there's a guy sitting there on the sofa holding one of the girls who's fighting, like holding her baby, like it's nothing, And it's crazy. But you even see it like in schools. If y'all ever have the opportunity to watch fight footage in schools, now you can tell when a fight is about to pop off because you can always see on the videotapes the lights from cell phones go off because they're waiting to record these so they can immediately put them on social media. That's a hot trend now. So there aren't people breaking up the fights. There aren't people calling for an authority figure. They're trying to get the best, like view of that footage so they can be on World Star, pretty much.
But here's the thing, though. I guess I and my memory is just crap. And so there was this rape that several people in an apartment witnessed, and nobody, they said when they interviewed people said that they didn't call the police because they felt like somebody else would. And I think that is a problem. Like, you may not want to physically get into it with the fight, but all those adults and nobody put their phone to the side and just press 911. That's it.
And
Like, I mean,
I
I
think
just.
that's the thing. Like, people are dis so people are becoming so disconnected from the actual event. Like, you have the apathy of, oh, I think somebody else will call. But I also think when you get to that point where people are disconnected from a human experience, that they're watching this almost like they're watching something on TV.
Right, they are.
It's not happening to them. They have cartoons, like when they show like somebody drowning and they have people in the water, like, not trying to help the person, but again, trying to film that drowning person because they're trying to get the best angle. I mean, and that's real. That's what people are doing now, which is scary. It's
It's
a
very
scary.
scary. I mean, it's like they cease to look at someone as a human in that at that moment, and they look at them only as entertainment. And that is my big challenge with unscripted television and the rise of it and going in that direction for so many years. And, you know, the shows like Jerry, where it was kind of pushed as entertainment and all for fun and not for real and all this other stuff. And so that when it actually is real, and instead of it being art imitates life, life imitates art, it just becomes, you know, we become desensitized, and it becomes ultimately dangerous for the individuals and then for us as a group, as it continues to kind of spiral outward.
Well, my other thing, oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think everything nowadays, to an extent, if you consume it enough, it will desensitize you. Like, even, like, you know, being on Twitter now with, like, I don't know if you remember, if y'all remember that day I screenshotted something and sent y'all something from Twitter and WhatsApp. And the tweet right before it was something gross about a rape. Yeah. And remember, Buddha, you were like, rape at 6 a.m.? And I was like, what are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? And I saw that tweet, and it didn't even, like, stand out as anything out of the ordinary, because I was so used to seeing such foul crap on social media that I was just like, I'm scrolling through my timeline, screenshot here, you know, and I think that happens to a lot of people.
Well, I am undone at the amount of girls who are doing this. Like you said earlier, there are so many, because I was trying to look for more information while we were talking, and there were so many of them. I don't remember a vicious fight when I was in high school. Now, granted, we went to, you know, quote-unquote fancy high school, but we also went to parties. We also socialized with other children. And now we did have some shooting in the sky because, well, it's Detroit. But just a whole bunch of girls just trying to kill each other? No.
That goes back to Lady Buddha and the rise of unscripted television, because that's what we saw. Our psyche was inundated with so many shows about women in conflict, and none of it was healthy conflict resolution. Everything ended up with, I'm going to take you out to eat, and it's going to end up with a bottle over your head. I'm going to have a conversation. I'm going to fly over the sofa to beat you. I remember the one that was so horrible when, what's her name from The Real World, who was on Basketball Wives? Tammy.
Tammy, mm-hmm.
And Tammy broke that girl down like an abusive husband talking to his wife, like the way she broke that girl down, and nobody, like, had a problem with it initially until a couple of people started saying, that might have been too much. Like, people were just so used to that. So, yeah, the girls now, because that's their entertainment, and they're watching it with their moms, they're watching it with their aunts, they're, you know, talking about, you know, who's the baddest bitch and who's this, mm-hmm. bad girls and, you know, whatever. So when they're going to school or when they're going, you know, out with their friends, they have zero conflict resolution skills. None whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, so I completely understand that. I mean, the idea of that, but, I mean, I'm cute. I'm not getting in a fight with nobody. I mean, just basic self-preservation. Like, my mother even said that. Okay, we hey, wait.
I don't know what that is.
That's Lady,
can you mute her?
Okay, yeah. Oh, no, I didn't mute her, but she,
I did. I muted her.
No, but I was going to say, my mom was talking about me as a teen not long ago, and she said she never really had to worry about that because I just didn't care to get into those types of squabbles or hang out with those types of girls. So, you know, there might have been, like, when I was in sixth grade, there was this girl, these girls who didn't like me because another boy liked me, and I did get in a fight with this one girl, but that was more of a minor, like, scuffle in sixth grade, one-on-one, and her issues were that she was poorly taken care of. I'll just put it out there. And all the other kids at school were well-dressed and well-taken care of, and she just, whatever. Anyway. But I guess I never even wanted to have a big argument that would escalate to physical anything. I mean, I certainly did say, popped off at the mouth. Like, honestly, looking back, when my friends were here, one of my boys was like, I don't even know how y'all didn't get y'all asses whooped, because y'all were like 95 pounds soaking wet. But yeah, people, it just wasn't a thing to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you're saying all that in context of you, and that's not what the culture is anymore. That's not what, like you were like, I'm too cute to fight. I know several beautiful girls that will initiate a fight in a heartbeat, and they don't even, I mean, because I'm like, aren't you afraid your face is gonna get scratched? I remember a huge thing that happened in our high school was this beautiful girl in our high school got her cheek slashed when she got into a fight, and that scared the crap out of everybody else from that point on. It was like, no, we're not, you know, nobody does fights because people are crazy. And I would look at these girls and think, y'all aren't afraid that something is going to happen, like, to you, and they don't care. Like, it's completely different. And when I mean they don't have conflict resolution skills, we used to be able to at least verbalize what was wrong or how we felt or whatever. They can't. They know what the emotions are, but how to express that to another woman or how to, you know, even figure out how they're going to solve it, there's a big gap there that's missing.
Yeah, it goes back to critical thinking skills. Like, if I do this, then what? Like, you know, if I hit this girl, then I get expelled or at least suspended. I miss class. I'm already getting a B. I was trying to get an A. I don't know. Those types of things run
Oh,
through my
girl,
head.
no, ma'am. That's
I'm
not
about to
even.
say, what school have you been to lately, Smart?
I was just about to
None.
say, because that, like, everything that you just mentioned as a priority, and y'all know I work for juvenile court in the evening, so I can tell you that a lot of them, that is the last thing that's
Well,
on their mind.
I went
I'm
to
gonna.
a high school football game maybe back in October, and there was none of that type of stuff. Like, you know, the girls were cute. Yeah, and maybe it was because they were so many.
You went to a high
Huh?
school football game, but not in that school, like on a regular basis. Like everything that you just mentioned as a priority for, like, I'm not saying all girls, because not all girls are like that. Some of them really like, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, be involved in, you know, whatever. But there is a large chunk of them where their reputation for being a badass or whatever is more important than any other, like, positive reinforcement.
That's a shame. I don't, you know, I can't even fathom. Yeah, I can't, because if I were a parent and someone did, you know what, my children probably, no, they'd be in a small private school.
Well, let's not overestimate that shit
I
doesn't go
was
down.
about to say, they got their own stuff going on
Sometimes, yeah,
there.
because
right.
sometimes their shit is a little more
It's not
gangster
better,
than
it's just different.
yeah.
Right. I do know that because you remember I used to work for the Archdiocese, and the transition I saw there was that it started, and this is like within one school year, the kids who were coming back from the prior year were of a certain parentage. And the kids who were enrolling that year were coming with cash. They were coming with an unwillingness to accept that your child and acted a damn fool up in this school, and we not gonna take it. Oh, you lying on him. I mean, it was a totally. It was scary. It was because the other kids, they weren't prepared for this. They had, you know, they were, you know, we wear our little uniforms and we have our little sleepovers and we sit in our little lined desks and we follow what the nun said. And man, listen, when they needed that money and started letting just anybody up in there, game change. But I'm thinking, like, even with the parents, like if you're a quote unquote more of a hood fight street parent, and in this McDonald's case, they said that the girl who got beat was not cooperating. Her family was not cooperating with the police. I would have to have those girls killed. That, I mean, that would be the only thing. Like, if I were that type of parent, and I was a Tammy Ronan, and that happened to my child, they got to die. And I don't care if I got to sit outside the cancer ward and wait on somebody who needs some money and know they're gonna die in 3 months anyway, and have them go kill them bitches, but they have to die.
Well, I think two parents don't have a lot. Like, one of the things that I do, you know, in the evenings or whatever is It's family therapy. So we, one of the, you know, things that I teach is conflict resolution. We talk about hard responses, soft responses, and principled responses to conflict. And it's interesting, some of the parents sharing their conflict resolution skills or lack thereof, and then watching their kids, because we even put it in the forms of how do you resolve conflict within your family, or how do you resolve conflict within your jobs. And sometimes the way that the parents look at conflict resolution, you can see why things are changing nowadays.
Right, I mean, I guess my thing is, why, if these are if these parents are those types, I feel like it should escalate more. And if I were in that position, in that mindset, my escalation, again, like I said, would be death. Like, they tried to kill that girl. So you got to die. I mean, the police can come and get you if they want to, but you got to die. Whether it's in jail or on these streets, you got to die.
Well, then that's, but see, even still with that, then what's your conflict resolution skill is violence. I mean,
well, see, you know what, but here's the thing. They don't understand anything else. I if you speak in the language of, let's sit down and we're just going to resolve this as a group of 12 girls against one. They don't understand that. And so even if I was not a hood, let's fight parent, and I send my child to a school, or she goes to one school and then goes to a party with these, you know, from with kids from another school, and they do that to her, I can't talk to those people like civilized people, because they're not. They're just not. And I can't fathom wasting my time trying to talk to them any sense. But all I could think about was calling somebody to ride down on them hoes. That's it.
But that's the thing. A lot of those parents, that is their first, that's their, like how you said, that's your reaction response to something happening to your child. That's a lot of parents' reaction response to something as simple as what they perceive as disrespect in the first place.
That, I was about to say, y'all let nobody talk to you like that. Don't let that girl look at you like that.
I'm not talking about that, y'all, but I'm talking about if I see my baby curled up in a fetal position on a ground and several feet going at her head, I'm screenshotting all them bitches and I'm calling people.
And I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying that that's your level 10 of conflict resolution, is to say, if I see my baby on this floor curled in the fetal position, that's my point where all holes are barred and now my primitive instinct is taking over. With them, what you think is level 10 is actually level 2 when that person feels some sort of disrespect. And so that's when they're like, well, I'm calling the folks and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And it's crazy. Like, I mean, that's... But it's very interesting to have those conversations, or even to, and some of them get it, like when we work through that exercise, because we talk about not all hard responses are bad, not all soft responses are good, because sometimes you have to find some kind of way to meet in the middle when you're trying to resolve conflict. And so what's the principled decision in that moment? You know, and those are the things that we try to work through. But it's interesting watching them get to that level, because a lot of them, their initial response to anything, I don't care what it is, you say good morning to them wrong or you whatever, it's automatic hard response. Everything is a threat. Everything.
That must be stressful. That's probably why everybody gets so sick.
Well, that is stressful.
I mean, but people, and you also have to think, too, a lot of people are operating in families with PTSD, like on a constant basis. They don't have any time to just relax and be normal, if that makes sense. Their normal is level 15. Mm-mm. So you bring up a kid in that. That's just like going back to that fight that happened in Atlanta where that mom is on video beating that other girl's ass while her two-year-old is in the arms of this dude. What is that two-year-old being raised to think about violence, period? It's not, oh, we got to wait till level 12 until I get bucked. Right. It's level one because that's her norm. So then that little two-year-old becomes a parent, and her daughter is whooping somebody in McDonald's.
And that is called generational savagery.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of goes back to something that I brought up several episodes ago with Joshunda, who wrote about, I think she was writing about Eric Garner and all of that was going on, and the mothers and women that were left behind and how they have trauma and how that trauma, you know, is not resolved and how that impacts the families. So if you think about mothers, daughters, you know, and others who are left behind from the tragedies that have happened throughout centuries, and then, you know, even the people who have PTSD from the, you know, a decade of war that we've waged, and then the soldiers come back and they have actual, you know, all kinds of episodes, and they're killing themselves and all the trauma left behind from that. You know, all of the fact that people are engaged in violent acts, like this group at Penn, I guess it was a couple guys who just got suspended, expelled, or whatnot from putting up the pictures of the girls on Facebook, and how they're traumatized now. You know, it's like all kinds of trauma happens all the time that's never really resolved. And if the trauma itself isn't resolved and the people who are around never get any type of coping skills or any healing or any new languages, because like you said, Ms. Smart, people speaking these languages, but if they're never taught another language, they don't even have the option to code switch. So it's like, you know, we limit ourselves in the ability to express and heal, and yet more and more traumatic shit keeps happening. So it's, you know, and then we televise it.
Yep, and you're procreating, and you're teaching kids, and you're it just keeps going and going and going.
It keeps spiraling outward. Meanwhile, we can access it faster. It's easier to see than it ever has been. It's easier to share with someone else. So it's just a cycle. So, you know, you have to be intentional to disrupt it.
Yeah, speaking of sharing with someone, so I was going to send this to you. Maybe, I don't know, I probably will send it. It's a draft of this showcase that a young lady I know is part of. And just to give you a little bit of background story, she in college was a little bit older than us, and she had a child, and she ended up stripping. And we all, you know, we knew she was DC, but she, you know, she had like a good heart. So she sends us this thing today, or actually wasn't today. I just checked that email today. I'm just whack like that. But whenever she sent it, I was trying to find it, but anyway. And she told the story of her life and how she came to be what she was. And it was scary. It was fascinating. You know, she had survived so much abuse, so much so that the entire neighborhood knew by the time she was 11, but she was getting gang raped repeatedly. I mean, she said the first time that she was raped was when she was 5 years old. And so, you know, she gives her background, and then she talks about sitting there with three or four other women, and they all had this same story, and they were sitting in the back of a strip club about to go to work. And so when I read this and where she has come to, she ended up like marrying a guy who was not physically abusive, but very much abusive. And I mean, I'm amazed she's even fucking alive, because that is like that type of trauma. And she has, you know, like I said, she has a daughter. So I wonder even about that. I wonder about her son. I wonder also about, like, you know, the trauma of your mother thinking you are the problem. Like, you know, you're the fast-tail little girl. Mm-hmm. And she said that she, you know, thought it was her. You know, it must be something. I must be doing something.
Right. There's something wrong with me.
And she didn't have anybody, not nobody, to say, baby, come here. I mean, that's just, it was disgusting to me. Like, all these adults around you just looking. Oh, anyway. So, yeah, trauma is major. And I'm just often surprised people even make it out alive. So, you know, I guess my expectations are often low. Anyway, yeah, let's end on that low note. do you guys have cheers for anybody? I'll let Lady Buddha go first because I know she is pressed for strapper time.
yeah, I actually have two cheers. One is for Maxine Clare. I'm reading her book, Imagine This. So I think it's I haven't gotten very far yet, but it sounds pretty interesting. Seems interesting so far. Is Imagine This, Creating the Life You Want, I think, or Creating the Life You Love, something like that. But anyway, so it might be something interesting for us to check out. So I'll report at the end and let you all know what I really think of it. But also, I just feel like giving a shout out to Loretta Lynch, who still has not been confirmed by the Senate, but. You know, she has an impeachable record, and they have nothing against her personally. They are playing games with her career, and I just want to give her a shout out because she's been on my mind. So I hope that she gets confirmed soon because she's awesome.
Stay strong, Sarah.
That's right. Hey. That's right. So cheers to her.
Keep thee nearer to the cross. Sojo, what about you?
I have two cheers. One of them is to Black podcasters, because I didn't know this, but this week is Black Podcast Week. We got a shout out yesterday. I think there's a formal itinerary, like for different days and different types of shows that I can't find right now. But search the hashtag, y'all, and give your favorite shows shouts out. You can, you know, the hashtag is Black Podcast Week. So shout out to all of us, or cheers to all of us. And then my other cheers is for Rihanna. And I was inspired by on Twitter, Lipstick Yoda. She was tweeting after Chris Brown showed himself once again to be like a self-absorbed, controlling asshole. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is what Lipstick Yoda says. She said that completely distancing herself from Chris Brown was the best thing Rhea's ever done for her career. Since then, she really seems focused on her longevity and building a lasting brand and empire. Her growth is expiring. Making like huge moves, iconic shit. It's like she woke up and realized she was the only star in that dynamic. I love it. Now her name isn't mentioned in disgusting antics, and it's all about her. Now when people say her name, they think Dior, DreamWorks, fashion icon, Vogue, Bazaar, international superstar. True. She even looks happier, jovial. She glows now like someone who found peace. And this is the last thing Lipstick Yoda said, was Rihanna moved on and proved that you don't have to listen to that nothing-ass person in your life trying to convince you that you need them. And I thought those tweets were just, you know, everything. So I wanted to dedicate my cheers to her, because kind of like Madonna and Tina Turner, she didn't allow her abusive past to define her, even when that abuse became food for public consumption. So,
amen.
You know, cheers to Rihanna.
Wow, that was really good. Just to piggyback a little bit on that, I think that what Lipstick Yoda said needs to be said more and more and more to mm-hmm. girls, to know that you don't have to stay where you were yesterday.
Right.
Amen.
You don't, I guess bringing it full circle, you don't have to let trauma define you.
Amen. And that is kind of what's at the core of Maxine Clare's book. Look at us.
doing things. I don't really have a cheers so much as I saw some interesting things. You know, obviously listen to the Kendrick Lamar CD. Are they calling them CDs now? I don't know. I also rewatched Snow on the Bluff recently. Have you guys seen that movie?
No, what's Snow on the Bluff?
Oh, my God. It's the realest of the realest of maybe the fakest documentary ever, about this drug dealer and just, you know, his life, somebody carrying around a camera. And it just reminded me of a couple of things and sort of ties into what we're talking about trauma in the movie. And if you watch it, you'll probably have, look, it's on YouTube. No, it's on Twitter. It's on Netflix. This is not a spoiler. His baby's mother gets killed in the film while he's filming. And, you know, that is a place of trauma, because they have this little baby who can't talk yet. But that baby, when you see that baby going through the trauma of missing his mother, it starts at that point. You know, that's where a lot of the trauma in our neighborhoods and our community starts. And so, those are two things that I had seen it before anyway, but just it, you know, how Netflix will lead you down a black hole and keep recommending more and more stuff to you. So watched that a couple days ago.
For the people, because I just added this to my Netflix queue, it's Snow on
I'm sorry, I enunciated.
You should, right, because I was saying, I can't find this, and I said, oh, the.
Yeah, on double off. Excuse me. Sorry. So feel free. Did you guys give out your Twitter handles?
Oh, I didn't. Is Buddha still on?
I didn't. Yeah, I'm still on for like one more minute, but I didn't.
Well, go ahead.
All right, so you can catch me. First of all, I got to give a quick shout-out to Ted Johnson for recommending me to participate in the Aspen Seminar Leadership Series. So that's why I was off the show when Kimba was on, and it was great. So I have to give him a shout-out. So thank you for that, Ted. But you can catch me on Coco Studio, C-O-C-O Studio, singular, cocostudio.com, and actually I blogged about my experience there, so all the posts are up from that week. And you can catch me on Twitter at NDCHARP. That's NDC Harp.
I'm sorry, what was the name of your conference?
It's the Aspen Seminar on Leadership, Values, and the Good Society.
And the Illuminati.
Shut up.
Okay, Soldier, what about you? Well, I guess I'll go. My Twitter is think_P_smart, and I would say that I'm going to tweet being Mary Jane, but I'm not, because I hope to be asleep at that point. Soldier, give out yours and the show stuff and the show Twitter, please.
Okay, my Twitter handle is SojoXOXO, that's SojoXOXO. My website is feminyin.com, FEMINYIN.com. And you can find us collectively at WhiskeyWineAndMoonshine.com. If you Google Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine, you'll find our iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, all that good stuff. We do encourage you guys to leave us 5-star reviews on both iTunes and Stitcher. Send us feedback at feedback@whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. And we will see you guys next week. Cheers.
Cheers. I'm trying to make it back home by Monday.